Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
5. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. We are here to empower you with health news that you're not going to hear anywhere else. That's right. We are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, about your immune system, your educated immune system, and what that means, and how you can educate it some more. We do have a quack report. And for the second part of the show, we are going to be talking with Alan Phillips. He's the vaccine attorney out of the Chapel Hill, North Carolina area. He does have a website, by the way. It's called vaccinerights.com. So he's going to be joining us to give us the lowdown hoedown on what's going on in the vaccine world. And before we do the quack report, big salute and semper fi to our military, praying for them and all of America. You know that righteous man of God we're praying for to guide this country back? One nation under God. That's what we need. Absolutely. We need to stop doing what we're doing and turn around because, you know, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So I'm all ready for some rejoicing. How about you? And without further ado, let's do the quack report.
Make way for Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
Thank you, Daffy. Oh, vaccine warfare is happening in Texas. Going to mention this to Alan when he comes on the show. Yeah. Apparently, Texas has decided Texas Department of State Health Services, they decided, you know, we're just going to carpet bomb over 7,000 square miles of rural Texas with about almost 2 million packets of rabies vaccine. I'm not kidding. I can't make this stuff up. That's what they did. They airdropped packets containing edible rabies vaccines that are dipped in fish oil and coated with fish meal so that the foxes and the coyotes would eat it. And, of course, the brainiacs in that state say, oh, yeah, and then we're just going to – they're all vaccinated now against rabies. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, they endanger Texas this way because they're going to have rabies, DNA, and RNA. It's a bombardment of rabies in the state of Texas. You know, I know of veterinarians that have gotten rabies being bitten by a vaccinated pet. Okay? Yeah. So Del Rio, Texas is where the small planes will be coming out of to drop 1.8 million edible vaccine packets on the land. Okay, what else we got in the quack report? Cancer drugs are in the news again. You know those chemotherapies that you go for, you know, those special chemicals that are supposed to kill and shrink tumors. Well, they do on a short-term basis, but according to new research, they may actually be causing malignancies to grow more deadly in the long term. Oh, yeah, this is a research scientist at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, their comprehensive cancer center, and the UVA Department of Chemistry are investigating the real possibility that dead cancer cells left over from the chemotherapy actually spark cancer to spread in other parts of the body and metastasize. Oh, yeah, 2 years later, it's done. You know, they don't have anything they can do for you. Therapies may inadvertently, they say, make cancer more aggressive as well as more likely to spread and kill you. The study is being published in this month's issue of the Journal of Cancer Cell. Isn't that nice? And you and people pay for that treatment. All right. What else we got? Well, we have the Stop Online Piracy Act, the SOPA. You know that one? Well, apparently some people are connecting the dots between that and the FDA Trilateral Cooperation Charter, you know, with other countries. We mentioned that, the TCC. Well, basically, you know, the SOPA, the Online Privacy Act, is saying, you know, it wants to eliminate any possibility that there's websites out there, information on the Internet, that could possibly endanger public health. So according to that act, it says that service providers, you know, the people that advertise, the search engine people, your host, you know, the people that handle the Internet content, in other words, they're going to be immune to any prosecution should they decide to arbitrarily pull down sites that are, quote, endanger public health. So websites that offer and sell and dispense and distribute prescription medications without valid prescriptions, or sites that do the same prescription medications that have adulterated or misbranded products, is, you know, what we're told this is all about. Well, true, but according to the American Trilateral Cooperation Charter that's in the works between the United States, Mexico, and Canada, they want to streamline all of the protocols between the countries. But Canada, for the last 9 months, has been negotiating with the EU to establish a more comprehensive economic trade agreement that will, you know, standardize the protocols between Canada and the EU. So So let's say Canada goes along with everything the EU is under, which means you can't get any supplements. You can forget herbs, okay? So let's say Canada does that, and we're trying to streamline our process with Mexico and Canada. So guess what? You follow the trail. Follow the trail. So folks, Canadian listeners, writing's on the wall unless you fight it. You fight that with Canada talking with the EU. It's a new trade agreement called CETA. Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreements, what it stands for. Unless you fight that, you're not going to get your supplements from America or anywhere. Now's the time to fight it, and as a backup, stock up on your favorite supplements, because you're not going to be able to get them. I'm thinking you're not. So take advantage of the vitamin vault at thepowerherbs.com. You will save on case discounts, and the products have very long shelf life. Actually, the product will list the shelf life, usually about 10 years. Check that out. Moving along in the Quack Report, guess what? 80% of the U.S. pharmaceutical products are made overseas, and the ingredients that are made in products here in the U.S. are made overseas. And these are facilities that the FDA does not inspect. Big pharmaceutical companies advocate the U.S. Food and Drug Administration maintains strict regulatory protocols to ensure safety, but this new report reveals that the drug ingredients in your drugs come from foreign sources. Nearly half of all the drugs produced at facilities are located overseas that the FDA never inspects. To give you an idea, there's like 649 facilities worldwide that the FDA has not set a foot on the property to inspect. U.S. Government Accountability Office is running this report. They said 40% of all the pharmaceuticals sold in the United States actually manufactured in India and China. 80% of all the ingredients that the U.S. manufacturers use to make their products are coming from overseas as well. So the FDA has inspected maybe 11% of foreign drug manufacturing facilities. So to give you an idea, over-the-counter aspirin, all made in China now. Your acid reflux drug, Prilosec, that's made in Puerto Rico and India. Your antibiotics, your allergy medicines, your diabetic medicine, and your blood pressure medicines, almost all exclusively produced in China or India. Yeah. The drug companies have been moving their facilities over there for the last few years. What else we got? This is last but not least in the Quack Report. Pediatrician calls the state trooper and child protective services on a mother who refuses to vaccinate her 2-year-old son. This is in Pennsylvania. Rachel Garman, Pennsylvania. She didn't know her pediatrician was nasty like this. Apparently, she had a very, what she considered, adult conversation about her son, and that she had some very strong convictions against vaccinating, and that her son was not going to be having any shots. She also refused to sign the American Academy of Pediatrics refusal to vaccinate form. We need to ask Alan about that. Apparently, it could incriminate the parent who signs that into admitting they are endangering the health and life of their child, so they're automatically going to lose custody, apparently. What nonsense. Well, Garman left the pediatrician's office. She didn't think much of it. She said no, and she wasn't going to sign it. She left, Then she comes home. There's two notes on her door from the state trooper that she needs to contact them as soon as possible. When she did, to her horror, apparently the pediatrician filed a fraudulent police report claiming that she had acted suspiciously at the pediatric office and refused to show identification. And the pediatrician called Child Youth Services for child abuse and neglect, according to the state trooper's office. So Garman, gutsy woman, she called the pediatrician. She says, why did you file a false report like that? And, of course, according to her, the pediatrician allegedly claimed ignorance. She didn't make any such call. Yeah, right. That's her first mistake was telling the doctor anything. You got to realize they learn information about you because you volunteer it. And that wraps the quack report.
That's strange. All of a sudden, I don't quite feel like myself.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Magical Engineer Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about how we can educate your immune system. And then we're going to be talking with Alan Phillips and get some information on what's going on. All right. Have you ever wondered how your immune system knows what to do and how to do it? Yeah, I mean, you already know that the immune system produces those killer T cells, but how do they know what to do? So the proverbial immune system, let's say that there's a checkpoint. So at the proverbial immune system checkpoint, how does the immune system know what organisms to attack and which to allow it to pass through? Your immune system is very sophisticated, and your T cells, you know, they just didn't fall off the turnip truck. They have been educated. They have. So who is the body professor which educates your immune system cells? Well, it is your thymus gland, believe it or not. So we're going to see how we can protect the thymus gland. All right, let's talk about Professor Thymus for just a second. Your thymus gland is a special immune system organ. So this gland is a very active gland during your childhood and adolescent years. And, you know, it's a good-sized gland. But in your early teens, your thymus gland tends to educate basically hundreds of thousands of immune system cells. So by the time you reach your teens, your immune system is pretty much graduated. So the job of the thymus is to educate your killer T cells. These are T lymphocytes. They're made out of white blood cells. And these are very critical white blood cells produced by stem cells in the bone marrow. And then they travel to the thymus gland, which is located in the front right in front of the heart and just behind the sternum bone, your breastbone. That's where your thymus is. So the thymus gland is this pink-gray colored organ, which isn't very big. It's about the size of your index and middle finger put next to one another. So the thymus is believed to actually shrink in size as we age. So when the T cells arrive at the thymus gland, they tend to mature into cells that will govern your cellular immunity. So there, the T cells get a class on how to become adaptive cells. They're armed with receptors, and the T cells identify foreign substances. So the receptors are randomly assigned to the T cells via some shuffling gene segments. And what this means is that this guarantees that the T cells will provide broad spectrum coverage, each identifying different substances such as your bacteria, your viruses, abnormal cell growth like cancer, etc. Well, let's go to just a little bit of history of the thymus, because in the last 20 years, medicine has been discovering the importance of the thymus, and that it isn't a useless blob of flesh assumed to be as functionless as the appendix once was. So autopsies of adults and their thymus gland show that as you get older, the gland atrophies. And it gets a condition where it kind of just, you know, shrinks and atrophies. And medicine at that point, when they saw that, determined the gland was pretty worthless. So the word thymus has Greek origins, and it can be traced back before Socrates and Plato. And suffice it to say that the word thymus is from the Greek thymos, and it's somewhat untranslatable, but they think it suggests or denotes life source or feeling or sensibility, which, you know, adequately describes the function of the thymus and your immune system cells, because the thymus teaches the cells to be sensitive to foreign pathogens, and it affects your immune system, and your immune system kicks up and starts working really hard when you feel bad. And also, you know, it's protecting your life force. It is protecting your life. Well, let's talk about dysfunction. What happens when you have thymus dysfunction? Because there is a connection between the thymus and the adrenal glands. Now, if there is an imbalance in the adrenal glands and they overproduce the cortisol, it will make the thymus gland shrink and it will hinder its function. And science has discovered a link between too much cortisol production and stress. And the stress can be either emotional or physical. Also, eating too much sugar and being a sugarholic will also overproduce the cortisol. And sugar consumption will lower immune system function because it hinders the thymus gland. Now, abuse of foods that produce sugar will eventually create acute disease, which will overtax the thymus, and it will reduce its size by 50%. And this decrease, believe it or not, can happen suddenly within just one day. So this is classified as adrenal and thymus collapse. Other sources that will attack your thymus gland and expose you to a lowered immune system are toxic chemicals, severe nerve pressure on the cervical spine, your neck area, overconsumption of alcohol or tobacco or caffeine, overconsumption of refined foods, refined oils, cheese, and marijuana. Yeah. Marijuana. So basically, who do you suppose is at risk? Well, there are a group of patients at risk of destroying their immune system if they seek allopathic medical care. The patients that come down with MS or myasthenia gravis have a neurological disease. In other words, their nervous system is degenerating. And as the nervous system breaks down, the immune system produces abnormalities. And in many cases, breathing and vision problems also arise. And the next thing the patient hears from their doctor is, we must take your thymus gland out. Now, even if your thymus gland is limping along, removing it will leave your immune system impaired. Wow. Let's talk about repairing the thymus. How do you do that? Well, can the thymus gland be repaired? Well, the human body is designed to repair, and every effort should be made to provide the essential nutrition for the body to accomplish this. So in most cases, the system is depleted of natural vitamin B. So adding vitamin B foods and whole food supplements will revive the immune system and the nerve stimulators. So vision and breathing and immune function is going to rebound. Now, diligent work has to be done to aid the starving body and making sure you don't muck it up again with bad eating habits. So in about 4 months, you know, positive results will be obvious, and neuromuscular diseases are created when we have poor diets and we can't go back to that type of lifestyle. It's also been suggested that vaccines have also been linked to neuromuscular disease. Now, in the old days, neuromuscular disease was labeled a nervous breakdown. Now, overcommitting yourself and unhealthy eating is going to produce these types of problems. So, some important lifestyle changes can help you avoid a thymusectomy, you know, removing that thing. So remember, allopathic medicine is bound by their equipment and they have at the moment. Oh, so what I would do, well, if I had a thymus issue, all I can tell you is what I would do if I were you. I would use some combination therapies. If you don't know what those are, they're listed in the Herb ebook. You can download a copy of the Power Herbs ebook from thepowerherbs.com, and it's just $14.99. So basically, you're going to combine whole food nutrition, immune boosting, and cleansing therapies, just to name a few. And you'll be good as rain in 6 months. Pretty sure. If you hit it hard and you're diligent, yes. Now, but you can't abuse the body with foods and chemicals that you were doing in the old lifestyle. Okay, you got to watch that. And believe you me, I have found over the years natural is better, because if I had a sick thymus, I would use some mullein herb to soothe the gland. Mullein is one of those herbs that just soothes your gland, not only your thymus, but your thyroid, your gallbladder, you know, your lymphatic system, just everything that's glandular. Now, I would also layer with some natural B vitamins, and not synthetic. You got to get natural ones. And I would complete the organ cleanses, especially the blood cleanse. I would remove the animal foods from the diet and layer with some juice therapy. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to also layer more therapies like immune boosting. Use herbs like garlic and echinacea. And if you need a list of natural food sources with those vitamin Bs, just let us know at Apothecary Herbs. We'll send it to you through the email or snail mail free of charge. So making sure that, you know, the bones are also healthy. You got to have healthy bone marrow for that immune system, for those lymphocytes. I'd also use some calcium-rich herbs. That's going to be important, because calcium-rich herbs are going to have the 2-to-1 ratio that the body likes to keep the bone healthy, the muscle, and the connective tissue healthy. So 2 parts calcium, 1 part magnesium, 1 part boron, and it's perfectly balanced in your fruits and vegetables and your herbs. So if you're looking for some concentrated herb sources, horsetail, oat straw, lobelia are going to have that. Now, if you're also looking for these whole food supplements to strengthen the body, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs to get a free product catalog. They have a toll-free number at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219, or you go to the website, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. You can look for organ cleansing packages, the mullein tincture, the body foundation food mix with the natural B vitamins, your immune booster formulas, your calcium formulas, and of course the Power Herbs ebook. 400 pages of information, and you know, knowledge is power. So get proactive, learn how to do it yourself, be independent, yes, and take care of your health. And you folks in Canada, sounds like time grows short. European Union is knocking on the door. So you might want to take advantage and stock up now. So if you can't find it locally, call Apothecary Herbs. They're able to ship now to Canada, but we don't know for how long. So give them a call, toll-free number at 866-229-3663 if you want immune boosting and organ cleansing products with a very long shelf life. At least 10 years, and you'll learn how to store them appropriately and how to use them appropriately. And, oh, and the new product catalog download, the PDF download's up on the website at thepowerherbs.com, so you can click on that and get a look at the new catalog, and you can also request a hard copy to be mailed to you. I got to take a break, but on the other side, we're going to talk with vaccine attorney Alan Phillips, so stay where you are.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
Do you remember a time without antibiotics, superbugs, vaccines, and drug dependency? Well, we do too, and we're here to remind you that you're more powerful than you think. God said herbs are here for the service of man. Tap into them and free yourself from drug dependency, disease management, and overwhelming medical costs. Take control and be independently healthy. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength formulas to stand in the gap and strengthen your system where you need help. Herbs for blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, osteoporosis, and more. Call toll-free 866-229-3663. Online, thepowerherbs.com. Check out their vitamin vault where you can stock up and save on case discounts. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live,
and I have a special guest tonight. We are going to be talking with Alan Phillips. He is a vaccine attorney in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He has a website called vaccinerights.com, and he's been working hard to protect the rights of parents and Americans all over this United States, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you this evening, Wendy?
I'm doing fine. I know we got a lot to talk about, and I know there's a, you had told me previously there's this aggressive pro-vaccine agenda. Is there anything that we can do to stop that?
Well, that's what I want to talk about. I think a lot of people who are aware of the vaccine controversy have awareness of one or more parts of this, but I'm not sure very many of us really have the kind of global view of this multi-pronged, very aggressive pro-vaccine agenda. I'm not sure I do, but I want to bring to the awareness of listeners this evening some of the different things that are going on in that arena.
Okay, well, shoot.
Well, I thought with your permission, I'd start out with just a real brief. I'm not really here this evening to sort of validate the vaccine controversy, but I thought with your permission, I'd go through just a couple of quick things that happened just in the last year, 2011, that have really helped for me to further validate the validity of the vaccine controversy that I've been involved in for years, and I know you have as well. We hear time and time again from federal and other authorities that there's no connection between vaccines and autism, that this has been researched, it has been disproved, and why do people keep bringing up this notion that vaccines could have anything to do with autism and related disabilities? And yet we keep seeing more and more information that calls up that connection. Just this past year, in fact, just in recent months, a nonprofit organization goes by the name of COMED. It's the Coalition for Mercury-Free Drugs. Just a few weeks ago, they exposed a federal cover-up between the CDC and vaccine researchers. They got some information by way of the Freedom of Information Act that showed that the CDC and study authors of a landmark 2003 study that's sometimes referred to as the Denmark study, one of the studies that the CDC points to say, here's proof that vaccines don't cause autism. Well, now we know from COMED's information that they got through the Freedom of Information Act that the CDC and study authors were in communication by email discussing data that showed that when they took the mercury out of the vaccines, the autism incidence declined, it went down, and continued to decrease over a period of years. And they apparently decided not to include that data in the study, and instead now use the study to try to prove that vaccines have no connection to autism. I don't know any other word. Well, I know some other words for this. To me, this is criminal, if not outright evil. How can anybody deliberately withhold information about a medical procedure causing harm to who knows how many children around the world?
Well, I agree with you there. But I think there's also another level of threat besides the mercury or the thimerosal in the vaccines. Talking with some people that have some medical backgrounds that don't like vaccines, don't advocate them, say that, you know, you can take the thimerosal out, the vaccines are still very deadly.
Oh, there's a long list of toxic ingredients, and I would encourage anyone interested to go on the internet. The CDC posts the ingredients of vaccines. If you do a search for CDC and vaccine incipient, you will see lists of vaccine ingredients. Even the so-called mercury-free vaccines still have mercury in them, by the way. They just have less mercury than they used to. But let me, if I may, I'm going to push to, because there's a lot of things I want to touch on. There's a study published just last year in the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health showing a positive association between autism and childhood vaccination. And what they found was that for an increase of 1% in vaccination rates was associated with an additional 680 autistic children. In other words, what they found was the higher the vaccine rate, the higher the autism rate. And the study author said, you know, they controlled for things that could have skewed the results there and came out saying we need to look more closely at this relationship between vaccines and autism. There was a gentleman by the name of Paul Thorson. He's a researcher that the CDC relied on for studies used to refute the vaccine-autism connection. Last April, he was indicted on 13 counts of fraud and 9 counts of money laundering with the CDC, raising, I think, some very serious questions, among other things, about all of that, all of the CDC's information supposedly refuting the vaccine-autism connection. We had another researcher, a former senior pharmaceutical firm scientist, Helen Ratajczak. She did a review of the autism literature from the early 1940s to the present, and she reported on her findings in the Journal of Immunotoxicology. And she concluded, among other things, that documented causes of autism include encephalitis, which is acute inflammation of the brain, following vaccination. So here we have from a former pharmaceutical scientist saying that, again, that vaccines are a cause of autism, maybe not the cause, but certainly a cause, according to this particular study. Now, another published study here in the, or report in the PACE Environmental Law Review, found that the federal government's vaccine injury compensation program, now this is the program that pays vaccine victims or their families in terms in cases where people die from a vaccine, parents are, and others are compensated when they can be compensated. You know, the CDC and the FDA both in years past have said that something on the order of 90 to 99% of adverse events are not reported. So when we look at the vaccine injury compensation program and what they've paid out, which has been over $2 billion since the mid to late 80s to victims of vaccines, we have to wonder, you know, is that just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what really is going on out there? But in any case, the PACE Environmental Law Review, the people working on that study found that the vaccine injury compensation program has been compensating parents of vaccine-injured children with autism for years, in direct contradiction to the CDC's position. So there's just information that keeps coming up over and over again from more and more sources affirming a likely, if not absolute, connection between vaccines and autism. So I just wanted to...
Interrupt you a second. But didn't they just pass laws that you can't, you know, take them to court, or the vaccine injury court is really tough to qualify for?
Well, yeah. The from a pure cold calculating business point of view, the pharmaceutical industry has the ideal business environment when it comes to vaccines. Every man, woman, and child on the planet is a potential recipient of vaccines from the moment of birth throughout their entire life, till the last one takes them out, as I find myself saying in recent times. But, and here in the United States, they have virtually no liability. If you're injured or, God forbid, killed by a vaccine, but both of those happen, clearly, well documented, you cannot sue the vaccine manufacturer. You have to go through the vaccine injury compensation program. Now, theoretically, there is a potential for people to sue after they go through that program if they don't like the outcome of that program. But there's been a recent U.S. Supreme Court case which has all but eliminated any option because of the way the court interpreted the vaccine injury compensation program. It was really... just shocking to me to see the court come to that conclusion, because the whole purpose of the injury compensation program was to make it easier for victims to be compensated. But what it has actually done is made it more difficult. And something on the order of maybe a quarter of the petitioners in that program actually see compensation. So it's a small percentage of injured people injuries that are even reported, a small percentage of those who get into the system and actually get compensation. So there's some serious problems there, for sure. But what a windfall for the pharmaceutical industry.
Really?
For as long as it lasts. I mean, I'm, as I know that you know, and I know that you support this as well, am out to do whatever I can to change laws and help people in different states change the laws in their states to allow more freedom of choice, to allow informed choice. That's really the short answer to the solution to all of this, is ultimately we need to change the law. But there's a problem, well, many problems, but speaking of changing laws, the vaccine, pro-vaccine agenda includes changing laws to require more vaccines and make it more difficult to get exemptions. So this is not, for any of us who have concerns about vaccines, this is not a situation where we can afford to say, well, I don't really, you know, I'm not interested in legislation, or I don't really have time for that, hope somebody else will do it. folks, if we don't become active legislatively, whatever, you know, that is for each individual is going to vary, but whatever time you have, whatever ability you have to do that, and I'm certainly here to help people in any state in the U.S. do that, if we don't take that on, we're going to lose our rights, continue to lose rights. We just had a law passed, for example, in 2011 in Washington State that has restricted access to religious and philosophical exemptions. In my opinion, at least with regard to the religious exemption, the restrictions were unconstitutional. Wendy, I wrote up a little constitutional analysis, cited the legal precedent, made my case. Activists in Washington State took it to the governor's office, asking the governor not to sign that bill into law. And the response from the governor's office was, well, it's not really our job to figure out whether laws are constitutional or not. That's up to the courts. Strictly speaking, that's true, of course. You can't just declare a law to be unconstitutional because you think it's unconstitutional. So technically, a court has to decide that. But what a disingenuous response. It turns out that Washington State has one of the highest vaccine exemption rates, and so that new law was politically driven. But the lesson here for us is that states can enact laws that are unconstitutional if they have the votes. Apparently, there's no strict scrutiny at the legislative level to see whether proposed laws are constitutional in the first place. An even more blatant example is a law passed just recently in California that lets 12-year-olds consent to HPV vaccine without parental knowledge. That is nothing short of bizarre, in my opinion. It's blatantly unconstitutional. Parents have a federal constitutional right, a 14th Amendment due process right to parent their children. The state cannot take that away from parents, with the exception of emergency situations. You know, if a child is severely injured and is going to die without medical treatment, we all want a doctor to treat that child and save the child's life and then find the parents later. You don't let the child die while you're trying to get permission from the parent to treat the child. But in a non-emergency situation, you're talking about a historical constitutional right that has been a cornerstone in our society from the very early days of this nation to parent our children. You can't give that right away to another adult, let alone to children who by definition are not qualified to make important decisions. That's why they call them minors. That's why they can't vote or enter into contracts or drink when they're underage.
Or serve in our military.
Right, right.
Well, let me just jump in there real quickly because you were talking about the HPV. I recently came across some research where the photonutrients in a lot of our vegetables, our fruits and vegetables, cabbage, for instance, and bok choy and broccoli, they have indole. It's an organic nutrient that, get this, prevents the papillomavirus.
That's awesome.
I know.
So part of the problem with the vaccine controversy is that pro-vaccine people keep wanting to frame this as, well, it's either you either take the risk of the vaccine or the risk of the disease, and of course the vaccines don't really cause any harm, so the risks of the disease are much greater. That framing is really improper because it assumes, first of all, that vaccines work, and there's a huge question there. But even if they did work, given the harm that they risk and cause, it overlooks completely the profound evidence for more effective other means of addressing these issues. There's a study, for example, a recent study that showed that vitamin D supplementation is a better preventive of the flu than flu shots. Well, then why in the world would anybody get a flu shot which could injure or kill you? Because vitamin D supplements aren't going to do that.
Right.
There's evidence that homeoprophylaxis, which is using homeopathic remedies, are very successful in preventing entire outbreaks and in preventing disease. So there are safer, less expensive, more effective means of addressing the infectious disease concerns.
Well, so, aren't you concerned about the number? I know you're a parent, Alan, and we've got, you know, when you and I were growing up, there was like six vaccinations that were on the vaccine chart.
medicine required, and especially for going to public school. And now there's like 22.
The number just goes up and up and up, and it boils down to this in one sense, Wendy. The pharmaceutical agenda with regarding vaccines is really just two simple goals. The first goal is everybody who's required to get a vaccine needs to be required to get another vaccine, and the second part of it is everybody who's not required to get a vaccine needs to be in that first category. There are over 330 vaccines that are either already on the market or in development. This comes from information from the North Carolina Biotech Center, I believe.
Oh, yummy. I'll take two.
Exactly. I mean, there's really no end to this. It's not like, well, one more vaccine and then we're done. They will keep adding more. People have said, Paul Offit, he's one of the well-known vaccine industry spokespersons, has said something on the like that the system can handle, it was either 10,000 vaccines or some huge number, just trying to open the door for there's no end to how many vaccines the body can tolerate, and so let's just make as many as we can. And it's strange to me when I look at it that as we have seen more vaccines added, we've had profound undeniable increases in autism and many other related kinds of diseases and conditions, especially in children. But I've, adults have problems with this too. I work a lot with adults in the last several months. I've been working with healthcare workers around the country, and I keep hearing stories about their peers who got the vaccine, and some of them had serious reactions.
Well, yeah, I mean, this fall, I think Michigan, Ohio, Texas, they were all pushing their health service employees, first responders, hospitals, nursing home, people that work in these facilities to get their vaccine at the threat of being written up with a reprimand or even fired. So, I was getting calls from people, what do I do,
Well, there is law that lets people off the hook there, but there's some gray areas in the law. So it's really difficult for people to do this on their own. And I'm the last person to say, go hire an attorney if you don't need one. With school exemptions in a lot of states, you check a box or sign a form. Nobody needs to hire an attorney for that. But in the healthcare arena, the hospitals are just taking many of them, and this is sweeping the entire country just in the last couple of years since the pandemic. Hospitals are requiring all of their employees, whether they have any patient contact or not, to get flu shots, and they'll be adding more shots to that. Some already are, but the CDC is recommending more shots for healthcare workers. Of course they are. By mandating it, they're going to double or triple that market, all at once. So there are ways to deal with it, but it's a little bit complicated in the healthcare arena. I've got information about that on the vaccinerights.com website, and encourage people to take a look at that.
Well, I've been telling people to look you up, to get all the facts. So I'm hoping they're visiting or in calling you. But you've also mentioned pediatricians are starting to refuse to treat children that are unvaccinated.
This is happening more and more. I'm hearing about it more and more. And in some cases, not always, but in some cases, it raises legal issues. And this is something I've seen with the hospitals around the country with regard to healthcare workers, and I'm seeing it with pediatricians. These people are deciding that as a matter of policy, they're going to take a certain position and handle things a certain way, and they're not stopping to take the time to do research or have their legal people do the research to find out exactly what their employees, or in the case of pediatricians, their patients' and parents' rights are, what the hospitals or pediatric practices, what their legal obligations are. If you refuse to see a child merely because the child's parents are exercising a religious exemption, for example, in some cases that's a violation of their federal constitutional rights. So I'm doing, in addition to my private practice, I'm spending a lot of time in activism, helping people with laws as best I can around the state. But I'm going to be writing the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission soon, asking them to address some of the problems with hospitals, because the majority of the overwhelming majority of healthcare workers' requests for exemptions are being denied, and I think and the likelihood of that is, based on what I've seen in my practice, is that a significant percentage of those are being denied improperly, unlawfully. So see if we can
Have you had any parents call you up and say that, you know, they were at the pediatrician's office, they refused the vaccines for their kid, and then the doctor's office tried to get them to sign an American Academy of Pediatrics refusal to vaccinate form? Are you familiar with that?
I am. In fact, I've got an article about that on my website. It's really an involved issue. But in short, I think it's unethical for pediatricians to use that form. They claim they're using it because of liability concerns, but it goes way, way over and above and beyond that. What they're really trying to do is to coerce parents into vaccinating. And the AAP recommends that the pediatricians use that with every doctor visit. It's not even something you can deal once and say, hey, we're opposed to this for religious reasons, end of story. They want you to sign another form every time you come back.
And well, does that open the parent up to be incriminated as endangering the child's life?
You mean for refusing to be vaccinated or for signing the form?
Either or.
Well, the form, in effect, says I'm a bad parent for not vaccinating my child, and I am skeptical that that would ever actually be used against a parent, at least not by itself.
Uh-huh.
I think if ever it would be used, but I think it's really more of a coercive technique. But as a parent, would I say it's okay to sign it because I don't think it's ever going to be used against me? No, in your life. I'm not going to sign something that says I'm a bad person for making a decision, you know, for exercising a legal right. Now, if you have, see, there's only three places you can be with vaccines in terms of your kids. You're either giving them the vaccines that are required by the state, you're declaring an exemption or exercising an exemption, or you're not doing either of those two. The people in that third category may not be in compliance with the law, and they might be, at least as a technical matter, candidates for being reported to Child Protective Services or what have you for medically neglecting their kids. But as long as you're following the law, either doing the vaccines or exercising an exemption, you're on sound territory, and nobody's got any business trying to require you to sign a form that says you're a bad person because you're exercising a legal right. It just, you know, those are inconsistent ideas. So I think it's an unethical practice. It raises serious medical ethical questions and possibly even some legal questions as well.
Well, we got time for one more because we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you about these door-to-door vaccines that this, like Texas and Arizona and some of these are doing, where they're getting, you know, Obamacare grants, the states are, and they're going door-to-door with nurses to vaccinate kids.
Yeah, I've only heard specifically about this happening in California, and I don't know whether or not that particular instance is tied to Obamacare, but I do know that Obamacare has a language that provides grants to states, federal grants to states, that in support of vaccination that includes having people go door-to-door. So if it hasn't happened from federal funding, it's on, it's slated to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of these examples that you're familiar with and that I've heard about are supported with federal funds. This is, of course, very disturbing to those of us who feel like we have or want to exercise the right we do have to refuse vaccines, and perhaps even more disturbing to people who want to refuse vaccines who may be in a situation where that right is either very limited or potentially even non-existent.
Well, you've got a website, vaccinerights.com, and you have an authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions there that people can check out. It's an e-book. And you do have a phone number. Can I give your phone number out?
Sure.
Okay, it's 919-960-5172. So you can call Alan Phillips. He's in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 919-960-5172. Of course, I'm sure that contact phone is on your website, vaccinerights.com. And all good information, Alan. Keep up the good work. And if you guys want to get involved, contact Alan, and he could probably point you in the right direction as well. You can get involved and preserve your rights. Right, Alan?
Certainly can. Thank you so much, Wendy, for letting me come on and talk about this issue.
Absolutely. You've been a delight. Thank you, Alan. We got to go, folks, but don't you go anywhere because Messiah's Branch with Pastor Dan Catlin's coming up next. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm Herbalist Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.